I take this opportunity to welcome members. Indicate that we'll just have only 45 minutes so that we allow members to prepare for the house. We have several apologies from members. We have apologies from Honorable Kaisa. Reason being that he was attending other portfolio committee, which is at the same time as this committee. And the other one, Joseph and Honorable Joseph and Honorable Say, they are preparing for the session. That's apologies. Do we have any other apologies that you have not recognized? Okay. Members, we're supposed to have a normal meeting, but because of the change of the program of Parliament, we had to have this short meeting, particularly to focus on the oversight issues. I'm now going to allow the staff to present the program to us and the preparations of I'll start with the content advisor.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning, members. The oversight will be in the northern KwaZulu-Natal province at Umkhanya, who is the district municipality, and Umthungulu, district municipality, Umthungulu, Isuzu Richards Bay, where members will be flying to. As members will recall, this oversight was supposed to be about Fesan Salah protection, and also to look at other support activities that the department assists communities with regards to conditional grants as well as irrigation scheme. So in North Makatini flat irrigation scheme, which the department previously reported on, but it's now functional, is also in the northern KZN area, so it's included there. And the China, just a reminder, members will recall that the committee wanted to go to two provinces, KwaZulu-Natal and the Limpopo province, but then the House Chairperson didn't approve the application because the committee didn't have enough funds to cover two provinces. And KwaZulu-Natal was the, from the budget that the committee currently has, KwaZulu-Natal province was the cheaper one in terms of travel and accommodation, and also the list of projects that we had to choose from that we received from the department, we received details from KwaZulu-Natal province, and our question will speak to the rest of the program. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. With regard to the program, members are the delegation is going to arrive in Richards Bay Airport on the 24th. We are traveling on Monday the 24th. And then we travel to Jozini. We are sitting over Jozini Tiger Lodge. So on the Monday of the 24th, we are also suggesting that members should have introductory meeting. That will include the portfolio committee from the province, the district mayors, and also the provincial department. That will also include the national as well. I've already sent invitations to the portfolio committee. The request will be tabled in the meeting today. That's what the committee secretary from that side informed me this morning. And they will take it from there. And with regard to the district mayor chair and the committee, I've also sent invitation that in the invitation, if they can't make, the mayor can't make it, then they can send in a representative from those districts and municipalities. And on Monday, then we sleep over in Jozine. The meeting was started at 1700 members because we've been traveling in the morning. And then we suggested the meeting started at 1700 until 1700, and then dinner at 20. The next day, members, we are in Mkanya Kote district. That is where we are going straight to the project. I've already, as indicated, as reflected in the program, and members, we are sending invitations to the traditional leaders in the different district municipalities. So those are the traditional leaders that are going to welcome us as the district. That will also involve the local traditional leaders as well. And in Mkanya Kote district, we are going to visit Vukuzi and Zenitha Systems product, and then we travel to Makatini Flats where we be looking at Makatini certification scheme, farmers cooperative and cotton jar that will be in Jovini. And then we drive back to the hotel on Tuesday and sleep over there. The following day, that will be Wednesday, the 26th member. We will also meet with the traditional leaders because then this is Jozine local municipality, and then we're going to try the same district, but we are going to another local municipality. So, we are in a local municipality. Then, Unbosidla is also going to welcome us there with the traditional leaders in that area. And then, after the meeting with the traditional leaders members, we'll be visiting Ukobinda, La Commission Protection, and Kosi Bay fishing community. And then, we take over in St. Lucia. We drive to St. Lucia and took over in St. Lucia at Elephant State Hotel. On Thursday, members wake up in St. Lucia and visit the Kundu fishing communities, and then we then go to Utungu district municipality from Kanyabute, then we drive to Utungu district municipality, where we are also going to meet with the traditional leaders in that district municipality, and we also visit the Kwangonambi Forest and Selini Forest in that district. And then after that, members will travel to Devon and sleep over on Thursday in Protea Edward Hotel. In the morning, members suggest that we have the meeting that will take approximately 2 hours or three just to reflect and way forward. We part of that meeting we think that we'll have the National Parliament, Corporate Committee, Provincial, National and Provincial Department related from local economic development units. And then after that, members will be charged to the airport site, will be the end of the oversight visit. Thank you very much, ma'am.
Thank you, and then the logistics around the communication part.
Isn't that? Good morning, my name is Raja Zakarian. I'm from Department of Communication. I could just issue a media statement prior to the oversight visit. We could include that the places that we'll be visiting and the purpose of our visit there. On the third day of the visit, we can issue an alert to make sure that the media knows where we are. Those information will also go out on social media, Parliament's Facebook account and the Twitter account that will go out there, and will go on Parliament's website. I will also inquire to see if there's airtime, radio airtime available to make announcements of the visit on radio. During our stay, during the oversight visit, we can have regular media statements. I will also be writing articles for Parliament's website, and I will be writing for the internal magazine in session. And during the stay, I will also be able to meet to see if there's anyone that wants to interview the chairperson as the next person for the committee. At the end, we can do a wrap-up media statement just to make sure that this is what the committee found. They're happy or not happy, this is what they have put in there out to the public.
Members, just most questions, so that we allow all the presentations to, so that we
were able to do everything with the short time that we have. I'm not going to allow the researchers to talk to their research.
Because the only information we received from the department was a list of the certain projects for what we have, and from that then we tried to work out with the type of observations that could be of use to the portfolio based on prior engagements with the partners throughout. And the reason why we chose the particular district municipalities, most of that area is under traditional leaders, so it's communal area, and that is what the Sekarala program is targeting, and therefore that was one of the motivations for choosing that particular district. And members will also remember that there's also the huge investment in terms of marketing place that are currently taking place, and that was another issue that came into consideration. Makatini also becomes very important besides the irrigation scheme itself, because of the water access issues that members are familiar with that seem to be continuing as a problem. They need addressed, but particularly for the small rural farmers, it seems like something that the petroleum company could make its own observations. So people have access to land, access to water, and what kind of support is the department providing to actually make sure that the relatively good production levels in that area. So that was a consideration. The other important thing that members must note regarding marketing plans, there's the issue of the red line fence in terms of the foot and mouth disease. The red line fence is supposed to separate, so we have the border with Mozambique, and then within a 20 to 30 kilometer radius, you should have another fence that dedicates a protection zone. So the animal from that side of the fence should not be able to move to further the 30 kilometers. But there was issues with the integrity of that fence, and I believe it's one of the observations that the OIE will try to make within the visit of the country in December. So it will also be important for the portfolio companies to be upgraded and have their own observations in terms of that. Then moving to the Richard Bay area in terms of the forestry project that is Richard Bay, it's largely a commercial area, but because the portfolio company has not dealt much with forestry projects, we then asked the department to come back with us the projects that they supported in the Kwamodambi and Selimi areas. We understand that there are quite a number of small scale growers, there's quite a number of commercial projects that have been handed over to communities. And some of them are on lease agreements with commercial partners operating on road land. So I think it would be a good exercise for the committee to just get a sense of how some of these forestry projects are actually working out or turning out on the ground. And that was the leading data there. And the proximity again to the Richards Bay of those areas, because Richards Bay remains the hub in terms of processes of the farm food and all these other products emanating from the forest project. That's why I'm saying that. What I understand is that still, which is the same with agriculture project, for instance, so small scale growers struggle to make as much an income as in terms of the potential of their produce. They still face a bit of barriers to end in terms of accessing the market, in terms of the processing plant in the state. So those are. We would not want to be aged, but that's what we understand some of the issues that some of the small scale growers have. I think that's just the summary of the work that we've prepared.
Good morning, honorable members. From the side of fishery, the committee will focus on small scale fish in the Kosi Bay area and also Gundus, just further back of St. Lucia. Most of the communities were affected by the removal of the 1950s, but there in Kosi Bay, it was way prior, I think it was in the 1800s. So the communities have traditionally been fishing, applying traditional fishing methods. So as governments change some of his communities, they are
Islamic.
So the management of the fisheries in that area, as you know, in the national level, the competency of the Department of Agriculture for the fisheries. But in case the thing is outsourced, I can say it is outsourced to SMB, the Wazunatal, which they, according to the communities, they are somehow the source of problems because they are not dealing directly with the people who are the custodian or the responsible powers in terms of resource management. So what some of the problems that they have, for example, in Kosovo Bay, it's the demarcation of the marine protected areas, because where the communities used to fish, it's some of those areas are now designated as marine protected areas, which means some of the recreational fishers are the ones that allow them. So in the community, since things are explained, it is perceived as fishing only as restricted to forest, which can be further described along the radial line. In Kosovo Bay, the fishing rights is given by the chief. The chief has almost the same power as the minister in terms of issuing rights and allocating fishing space. That is derived directly from the constitution, not the Marine Labour Resource Act. So the management powers lies with the chief. For example, what they do then, the chief demarcates an area, almost like a land. For this family, this is where they would fish. They set their traps. The traps are what is mostly used there for fishing, as opposed to rods and other nets. So, a demarcated fishing area will be a responsibility of the family down the generations. So, there are certain areas which have been passed on from one generation to another, and it's been sustainably maintained, the resources there, and also dealing with conflict. There has been no conflict in terms of the resource use and availability. And given that there is now the small-scale fisheries policy about to be implemented, what the communities want is that they should retain their traditional fishing, but they should get more access to offshore resources, which would require them to have access to boats and also inputs in relation to those operations. So around that area, that is the issue. That those are some of the things that they have, that the recreational fishers in areas outside the control of the traditional authorities, you can go open find that there's overfishing in those areas. And it affects the stocks, which are supposed to be sustainably maintained in the areas controlled by the chief. So that affects the livelihood of those communities. And also, I think it's also the lack of understanding between the parties. For example, the SLA locates them who go there to implement the Marine Living Resource Act and also the provincial legislation, while the chiefs, they generally do not have the legislation that controls fishing. It's generally maintained or fishing activities regulated through decisions taken by the leadership, which has been working for some time. But since there is no state fishery policy, communities have to be organized so that they can have a voice when negotiating or approaching the state. So now there's the part of the chief being the responsible and the other side, the fisher association, being the ones that speak to the minister. I think some of the things may need to be sorted in terms of the reporting or the power line, because I think there might be some issues going into the implementation, because one of the problems is that on the implementation of small game fisheries policy, there's supposed to be an organization or company appointed by the department to assist in the organizing the communities to home management structures, because they're supposed to be almost autonomous. While on the other side, they are currently, that is the responsibility of the chief. And from what is said, there is that as in the wildlife, who are also implementing, like in terms of ensuring law enforcement. Okay, that's what it is, that they shoot the communities when they reach there and they identify them as poachers and all that. Because some of them, they don't know that some of the areas are under the chiefs. They don't, there is that community between SMF and the community. So now the department has seemingly presented SMF as the implementing agent, which the communities are not in favor of because of the previous dealings with SMF. So that becomes a little bit problematic. So the other thing that the communities want to be treated like all other provinces, wherein the department at national level is the one that implements or manages resources instead of outsourcing. Yeah, there are several issues which the brief will outline on that one related to the processing. At St. Lucia, it's almost the same thing, but today is that the different treatment of small-scale fishers, for example, they will go to port office and get their permit. But when they are supposed to fish there, some will be harassed, and they have stories of raids that they can show of people who were fishing there having permits that they still continually getting harassed by the law enforcement, even though they have the papers supposedly allowing them to continue fishing. So one of the things that comes out from is that they are looking forward to the quick implementation of the small scale fishery policy with the hope that it will be somehow relieved from the persistent harassment from the SMV. And the other thing that in relation to the removals, they are no longer able to fish freely. Now they often resort to fishing either at night when officials have knocked off, and the risk with that they don't have the proper boat. It may shift boats, and some made of corrugated wires and some logs. And if there is a good catch at night, it becomes a bit unstable to roll back to the shore. So around that, the issues of how the authorities treat things. But the other things that they have is that during consultations of the small scale fisheries policy and also the amendments of the Marine Living Resources Amendment, communities did not come to comment because they have this ongoing barriers between the dealings with the SMV and also the local authorities. So those are some of the issues that are directly affecting the small scale fisheries.
Any other presentations? I think we jumped with all the presentations. I'm going to allow members to ask questions. Honorable Young Blood, Honorable Koshi Mandela.
Language was a problem and a barrier when we visited Mreka from. I would like to know whether we're going to have translation services when we visit here. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Let me also from this last thank you, Presenter, team in terms of the presentations on agriculture, forestry, and fisheries. I'm particularly fond, Chairperson, that you are visiting an area of my great, great, great ancestor. That is in Chile. This is where Tim was located in 1800. So, I'm very proud of that. But I want to look in terms of the role of traditional leaders, particularly in each of the presentations. Are the lands and the projects run through the traditional council for the betterment of the communities? How are the communities benefiting from the targeted traditional councils, because for some of us residing under traditional councils, these might be good case studies to go and see and compare notes. Look, so I'd like to know, are these fully run by a traditional council, or have parallel structures like CDH existing there that are run by entities as part of the community? Thanks.
Let me allow this staff to respond.
With regard to the translators, yes, we only have two translators offices because we are only going to Devon. They will be with us for the rest of the trip. And also, if I can also, as a chair, we also requested the department to provide us with a profile of all the projects and also the distant interests, because they are the ones with the province that will also, we are waiting for that information that the whole table they are deliberating before the end of this week, if not so, by Monday, those members will have that day. Thank you.
My apologies, members. I think yes, it's supposed to be today in the group and not in the for the in the role of the traditional leaders in the project that we created, what we know and we understand is all of that land is in a communal tenure. And we believe that that's also very important. It's a message that we have to get a clear understanding of in terms of the institutional arrangements, and that in terms of the access to land, access to water, and then the provision of support from the department. So we would like to see that. We would like to see how well it works. But from the information that the department has provided, there's only allocated project leaders. And it's like a project coordinator process. So we do not know fully well if the traditional leaders are part of that process or what they. And I think it's important because the other reason we chose a commercial production project as well is to fully understand how big to be arrange all these things so that people who are on communal land can actually go from the subsistence to smallholder even to commercial production. So that's a lesson that I think, or an observation that the community could also make. In terms of the benefits for the community, if you look at in Umkhanya municipality, from the list that the department has provided, there's 1,200 hectares of land that they are supposed to be, that are supposed to be under bay production and projects they supported. And I mean, luckily, on a commercial production system, one has about 4.2 tons per hectare of maize. That's what your yield will be. So let's say we try to work back to just about half of that, so that the yield that the communities could benefit out of the harvest. And it is quite substantial. But then the other issues of the storage, access to transport systems, or whether it's a mini plant and all those things, and which falls under part of the presentation that came from the National Agricultural Marketing Council in terms of the ENCA project, I think they were called. So I think the observation would also be quite eye-opening for the portfolio committee in terms of, yes, you have land under production, but then what happens to the yield that comes out of that? So I think the holistic approach in terms of what we try to see there, in terms of what the support that's there, but beyond the on-farm support, even with the mechanization policy that members have dealt with, we have nothing. We know that the kind of support is trackers should be provided for this community, but it is not clear how many trackers are in the district municipality, or if the echo projects that have been reported on have had that kind of assistance. So it's one thing to see the report on paper, but I think it would be quite a useful exercise for members to actually verify a lot of the issues on the ground.
Yes, I think one of the things that members should record is that when the festival was launched, was meant to put all the communal land on production for this 1 million hectares. So that is one of the things that we'll be able to follow it up. And the issue of indeed participation of additional land leaders and communities, it might be important to learn from those exercises. I just want to indicate again that we have requested from Research Park that they should allow the teams to visit these areas before we go there. But unfortunately, the response that I got from the research was that it has never happened before. It's a new request, so they would have to put it on the budget. So, because my belief is that for us to be able to get the gist of what's happening with the ground, we should actually investigate ourselves. We should have interactive sessions with smallholder farmers, such that we are able to understand what are their challenges, and we can then make a proper intervention. But unfortunately, I was told that it has never happened in the parliament. It's a new request, so they'll consider it in the new financial year. So we are going to rely much more on the information from the department and the provincial department, which is not a good oversight mechanism, as far as I'm concerned. But again, as was met with the department, members will remember that we're given the numbers, but I want members to take those notes as we're going to those areas. We told that KwaZulu-Natal department has donated 72 tractors, and they bought, province bought some, which made to 350 something, members still remember. And was not briefed how they've been distributed in the provinces. And that is the first experience that we are going to see, how these tractors are being distributed into the province. And the other problem that was part of the legal report of the federal was the problem of diesel, because you had a national contract which supplies all the provinces, but it will then depend on how many provinces have made orders. The other type of issues were the distribution of seeds and manure. So that's with regards to the Zatan. And we're told that all the maize that are being cultivated are being, there is a contract with the Food World Organization, those small farmers that are being linked to that program. Therefore, there's no maize that will be left hanging somewhere without being. I think those are the things that we need to confirm whether they are happening now. I think, and we should not lose focus on what the policy is meant to, and whether indeed the department, they are doing those things that they said they're going to do, because it's very important. And we're told that in terms of the storage, we're told that they distributed the storage, what you call the silo, yes, in the village, in the rural area. So obviously those who are going to the northern part of KwaZulu-Natal, we must see one of those. I'm not sure how many they distributed, but we must need one at least. and one of the things is that in terms of animal disease management, I think it's very important that we must see that red line and the measurements that we hold, they are putting in place as a family. I'm just saying, I'm reflecting those things so that members, when we leave,
you must have those information that department has said they are doing, so that we're able to ask relevant questions when we're there. And with Forest, we just had the presentation and we were so disappointed with us, but let's go there and examine and see what needs to happen to Forestry, and what measures do we think the department should put in place to turn around that section itself of the department. But the department is not performing in the department, and even with the agri-BEED charters and forestry charters, who are not doing very well. So it means that there is stagnation in forest, and the majority of the land is owned by government. And those are the things that we need to start and take and be able to make proper intervention. Any other issues, members? Honorable Macleod and Honorable Francois.
Just a follow-up on what you just said. Yes, question. Maybe you should recover that according to what number of people ensure the fares are true. What was discussed personally by the department in terms of service plan and all of that. In addition to what you say, it would be helpful to us, not for us to go back and look around, but for them to learn about this, have a page or two that point to all the issues that you are raising, that are raised by the department and you must look for when you go there. Secondly, maybe it's the portfolio committee of KZN and the district and the municipality, and that session of Tuesday, Monday, that will also give us more in terms of what's happening there. Because this is an oversight, and all those things must talk to the difference that is made by what we do as government in terms of our people. Maybe they will deal with those things. We're not just giving and giving, but does it make a difference to the people of those areas what we're doing, as well as the control of it, in terms of monitoring and evaluation? I can hear the parents explaining now. So I wanted to check if those things can be done, so that we have this package for the distance, as well as we must not have a long distance using the package. We're no longer thank you.
Thank you, Chair. No, sir, I think under Mr. Nagushin, we established where was it previously around the preparedness, the state of preparedness on plan B and doing the trial, and the distribution of the fertilizer and manure to say if it can be clearly calculated on this other instance that was the fertilizer and the initiation. If there are other stocks, fertilizer stocks, there are impressions that you may come across storages of the fertilizer not yet being distributed, and I think we have always been affecting on that position.
Yeah, I think one of the things the members that she would have to be part of what we find out is out of the equipment we share, how much is the province, what is the concurrent function
how much is the province put on this, on agriculture? and the condition, because most of the festival program is being implemented through CASA. But we I think one of the things that we have to get is from the Department of the Department, as the Honorable Matrasman raised, the out of the equitable share, how much is the province which is for the agriculture. Particularly because now agriculture has been put as one of the priorities by government to create jobs. How are we going to make sure that those 1 million jobs have been created, and how are we going to make sure that issues that or objectives that have been raised by the NDC against implemented, we should have resources, but we should start there. One of the it should be then the exercise that will help us if we're going to engage with the department further for other things. One of the issues that Montevideo must look at as to look at other things was Gigi told us when we were talking about the alignment with the AICC, he told us that they started that and was giving example with Limpopo that there was one area where they are making this design. The agricultural council has investigated the soil, they are going to focus on potato, this and this. So we must then try to see whether those things are happening. What is very important for the achievement of the goals that they put by themselves in their ATP. I think members, if there's nothing, I think we should then. I think there is a project on Chesatala which members must have. Let's put it as part of the package. There's the policy on mechanization, and we have asked questions what is going to happen for this financial year, and we're told that the status quo will depend on provinces. So I don't want us to use those tracks as we ask questions. It will depend on the provinces for this financial year, because the mechanization policy is still in the process. We had that policy proposal, but it's not yet implemented. Means that we're going to get a lot of emails where we're going from the staff and the member of the executive council. They are understanding. So we should then be ready ourselves. Make more research and all those, because we're going to get a lot of English, we're going to deal with math and science more funding there. So we need that capacity to members to be able to engage with that side. And then the fishery policy, small scale policy, but not received. So how are we going to engage with the fishery thing? Can you ask the department to give us so that it should then be part of the package, so that we are able to relate what is in the policy and what is happening on the ground?
Thank you. There is a policy already, but what is missing is the implementation plan. So the policy has not yet been implemented. Still the old arrangement that is still predominantly taking place. That's why some of the, in particular around this Coach Bay and also the St. Lucia area, they want to be included in the interim relief so that they can continue being rather than waiting and having nothing going on in the moment.
Hello, so let's have that policy as part of the package, and then we'll then engage. Members, let me close this meeting because the bell is, the first bell is rung, so means that the second one has to be left to the house. Thank you very much. We'll meet on Monday in KwaZulu-Natal. So, at your place, we expect you to...
I'm voting for you.
Yes, okay.
Oh, not all. Thank you.